Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. Again, I want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. Again, thanks for their support. On today's show, a little bit later on, we will talk Flightline with Terry Finley. West Point Thoroughbreds and Partners went out start number three, the grade one Malibu. Would he validate what we had seen in the first two starts of the career? The answer, a resounding yes. And we'll talk some Flightline a little bit later. But we're going to start the program talking to our friend Dave Littman, who does a nice handicapping column for the Blood Horse every week. And this week, as the calendar turned and the two-year-olds became technically all three-year-olds today, three-year-old stakes action across the country, and Dave focused on that, and I thought a great opportunity to kind of kick things off three-year-old-wise. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And I will ask you, because the sad news came out, that Billy Turner had passed away, the trainer of Seattle Slough. I just wonder if you have any memories, if you had any. You must have had contact with Billy Turner in your New York coverage days.
Oh, yeah, back when I started with the press office in the early 1980s, you know, there were some barns you go to and have to get quotes about various horses, and some barns you didn't really look forward to going in there, but you could always count on Billy to, you know, he just treated me like I'd already been there 25 years, you know, and I was just a kid. I always appreciated that.
And again, from Seattle Slough fame, and news came out, he passed away at 81 years old. So led a long career, and so again, wish the best to his family and whatnot. All right, Dave, again, three-year-old action kicking off today with the calendar turning and some nice stakes races across the country, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Santa Anita. And we'll kick it off in New York with the Jerome. The Jerome, $150,000 for the three-year-olds going 1 mile. I'm going to pull up a replay from the Nashua. That will actually give us a look at a couple of horses from today because the winner is going to be Rockefeller. That one will show up later this afternoon at Santa Anita. But Cook Creek is going to come back in this afternoon's Jerome. I had Cook Creek underneath in my mix off this second in the Nashua. I thought Hagler was kind of interesting for Rudy Rodriguez. I kind of like the progression distance-wise, and he stretches this afternoon off a couple of wins going 6.5 and 7. So I went with Hagler, but Cook Creek, we're watching him run second here. Rockefeller's number one. Cook Creek is the number five. He's a player. I thought Mr. Jefferson, Cavassier, interesting. 0-2, 0-3-5. Turf to dirt, it's that time of year. I couldn't pull the trigger there, though. But what were your thoughts on the Jerome?
I went with Cook Creek. I mean, if nothing else, this will give you a line on Rockefeller later on in the Sham, where he's the I think he's the slight favorite over his stablemate. I thought he ran well there. You know, his first time, you know, getting beat, but he was clearly second best. He likes the one-turn mile. We know that, so. You know, if he can get away cleanly from the rail, he's probably going to get a decent setup. Because, like you said, Hagler, I mean, there's speed in here, but he looks like the speed of the speed stretching out off two sprints to begin his form cycle. Mr. Jefferson, I was a little intrigued by shipping in from Fair Hill from Mike Trombetta. Two back when the blinkers came on, he kind of pinched the start and behind a wall of horses at the top of the stretch. And Michael Sanchez just waited and came through pretty confidently on the rail, and it looked like the horse won with something left. And then last time in the Ramson, he just kind of spun his wheels four wide throughout against a very slow pace against some, you know, the Pletcher and Chad Brown horses that were the two favorites and ran like it. And then 0-2-3-5, like you said, switching from turf to dirt. I think, if anything, he's outrun his pedigree already because he's a Union Rag. And his horses statistically do much better on the dirt, so maybe this would be his calling.
Yeah, Mr. Jefferson, that fourth in the Remsen, I think Mo Donegal and Zandon are both going to turn out to be okay three-year-olds. I don't know that they'll go to the top of the class, but I think they'll be okay. So I think that Remsen finishes maybe better than it looks. So Mr. Jefferson, yeah, is interesting in there. All right, let's turn the page. Let's go down to Gulfstream. And, you know, you're watching the Gulfstream races all the time. We're a few weeks into the championship meet. Anything of interest we should note now that we're a few weeks in as far as jockeys or whatnot? A handicapping show earlier, I mentioned Chantel Sutherland. Given how she came into the championship meet on such a roll, and I called it a career resurgence, over the past couple of weeks, I think she's kind of validated that. I'm not saying she's going to be at the top of the standings, but I think she's going to kind of hold her own. Now, obviously, Paco Lopez and Luis Saez, and when Irad Ortiz gets going, they'll go well. But as I say, anything we should be looking at the championship meet so far?
I mean, the jockey colony is not quite as deep as it had been in years past. You know, Johnny V is out in California for the winter, and Jose Ortiz is staying up in New York for the winter. And Irad hasn't been here. You know, I guess he gets back next week. You know, so it's been an opportunity for riders like Chantel Sutherland to make an impact at the meet. And guys like Junior Alvarado has also gotten off to a really good start, like with 16 or 17 wins already. And he's on the favorite here, actually, Mucho Man in number two, Strike Hard.
Yeah, and we're going to take a look at the allowance optional claimer from December 5th. Strike Hard is going to be the number nine horse here. I went back and forth, and I eventually landed on Strike Hard. As I say, I'm not super confident. Graphic detail off the debut win for Bill Mott is very interesting for Larry Best and OXO. How did a horse only cost $300,000 for Larry Best, but this one winds up being a bargain given what he typically pays. Simplification, beaten favorite last time down at Gulfstream, but that number two back just jumps off the page. I wasn't sure what to do with him. Skippy Longstocking for Safi Joseph. Your thoughts on the Mucho Macho Man?
Yeah, I think simplification is a big key here. I mean, he was 3-10 last time. He was coming back just 3 weeks off one of the better two-year-old figures of the season. But that was against, you know, Florida-bred competition, and then an open company last time. He got dueled into defeat after about a half a mile, and he backed up to finish third. But he is going to have a sharp influence on the pace here. He's breaking right inside Mr. Rum Runner, who's got speed as well. Skippy Longstocking is also on or near the lead and adding blinkers today for Safi. And the horse on the rail, Sport Pepper, has some speed. So it figures to set up for either Strike Hard or Graphic Detail. I mean, Strike Hard, that just can't get him to change leads. You know, he's on his left lead through the stretch in every race. But last time he really took over that race with a move on the turn and just kind of ripped that field to shreds. And that was his first time in blinkers. And he didn't change leads, but he didn't need to. He was still drawing away. So I think he's the one to beat. Graphic Detail, Spotting Experience at the distance and over the track. And we'll see if he wants to go this far. You know, as a son of Practical Joke out of a Dixie Union mare, I'm not sure how far he wants to go yet.
Yeah, and the distance may be a little bit of a key for Strike Hard, too. He's a couple of wins in a second and three starts going the mile, and so that's a benefit for him also. All right, let's move over to Arkansas. Smarty Jones kicks off their really nice three-year-old trail. And the Smarty Jones this afternoon, $250,000 up for grabs. They're going to go 1 mile. I am going to pull up the Churchill Downs November 25th maiden special event, and we're going to watch All in Sync here. All in Sync comes back for Steve Asmussen. A couple of starts. This was the second start of the career we're going to take a look at. Ran second in debut over at Keeneland. I always say the Churchill late fall meet has some salty two-year-old races. I love the two-year-olds coming back from that meet. And this one looks pretty good as we're watching it come down the stretch. But I tilted towards Cool Papa G on the outside. I thought this one, the other Asmussen runner coming off a third in the Lively Shively, was a little bit intriguing in here. Had All in Sync in the second spot, and I thought Homebrew for Brad Cox was interesting. Barber Road, Karama on the outside, also interesting players for me. I think it's a fun race. Nice full field. Your thoughts on the Smarty Jones?
Well, this race drew as many as the Jerome and the Mucho Macho Man combined, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked Ben Diesel a lot, but he drew post 14, you know, and with a short run to the first turn, he's really got his work cut out from that spot with John Court. I went with All in Sync. He drew the best of the three Asmussen horses in here. I think some people may shy away looking at the pedigree because he's by McLean's Music, who had that one brilliant sprint and then went to stud. But he statistically does almost as well with rooters at 16% as he does with sprinters overall at 18%. And on the bottom side, the dam system time is out of Pennant Champion. Pennant Champion, you know, traces back to that stout Phipps breeding, and she was out of Personal Lenses. So I think, you know, there's some bottom on the dam side to get the distance as well. Broke sharply both times. Breaking from post two, should sit a really nice trip. And just looks like a quality colt taking the next logical step for me.
Yeah, and I will toss in one other Dash Attack leaving from the rail, 12-1 on the morning line. And to me, Ken McPeak, he had that tough Saratoga where the barn was under quarantine. But the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, he seems to have kind of resurged, particularly with the two-year-olds. So Dash Attack may be a little bit interesting to me.
Yeah, and the horse I'm against here is Homebrew, the morning line favorite. For Brad Cox, I just thought he got away with a really easy lead over the track December 4th. And that was with Lasix, and this an issue with handicapping this race is a lot of horses that are coming off good races with the Lasix aren't getting it today, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. That's something to take a look at with these types of races over the past year or so. All right, let's move finally out to Southern California. And the Sham, small field of five, $100,000 up for grabs for the three-year-olds traveling a mile. No surprise, the favorite. It's a Bob Baffert runner, Rockefeller. We saw him earlier winning the Nashua. So I pulled up a replay from a maiden special event. Going back to Del Mar in August, the number two Oviette class will be a winner here. Subsequently ran third in the American Pharaoh behind Corniche. And fifth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile behind Corniche. So no Corniche this afternoon. Maybe we'll get closer to what we saw in this Del Mar race for Oviette class. But what are your thoughts on the Sham?
I thought he might be the potential value. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, both of the Baffert runners have early speed. So, you know, what's going to happen here? Is one going to run interference for the other or what? You know, Rockefeller's only loss came when he had to chase Corniche. And he faded to fourth in the American Pharaoh. But, you know, before and after that, he was pretty good on the lead. But Newgrange is stretching out from six furlongs. It might be a little quicker. So we'll see. I mean, if those two hook up at some point, maybe it sets up for Oviette class. You know, he had some trouble. You know, he doesn't do himself any favors. He breaks slowly. He had some traffic into the far turn and the juvenile. But in a field like this with just four other horses in the race, I think traffic will be a less of an issue for him.
Yeah, it could be fun to take a little bit of a pop. With the five-horse field, I don't know what we'll get, but you'll get a little bit better of a price than the Baffert runners, you would have to assume. So, again, nice three-year-old action across the country, kicking off the, well, essentially the Derby trail kicks off with these three-year-old races. Dave, I have to ask you, you're down there in Florida. Is there buzz building over the past month or so with potential showdown in the Pegasus, Life is Good, Knicks Go?
Yeah, I know Todd really likes the way Life is Good is doing. You know, Knicks Go, we already know, you know, what he's capable of doing. He's looking to be the first repeat winner in the race. You know, it's still 4 weeks away, so you just knock wood every day that they stay on track and they wind up in the gate together.
Yeah, I didn't do it, but so far every time I've mentioned it on the show, I have done exactly that, a little knock wood, a little cross fingers, because yeah. It, we're all waiting for that showdown, particularly with this situation of two horses who are so brilliant on the front end. Strategy, what are they going to do? I think they just have to go with their strengths, but what does that mean? How will the race play out? And I think there will be a lot of intrigue. Some races, we overdo it. But there will be a lot of intrigue post-position when things are drawn for the Pegasus, should they both make it into the field.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those races where the break is going to be crucial. I know they're going, you know, once around the track, nine furlongs. But, you know, one misstep at the break and you give the other horse the advantage, that could be it.
Yeah, it's really looking forward to that potential. Dave, again, appreciate the conversation. Folks can find your work, as I say, the handicapping column, Lipton at Large, every week in the Blood Horse. We appreciate that. We appreciate the conversation, and we will catch up again.
All right, Seth. Good to talk to you.
Dave Lipton, again, you can check him out in the Blood Horse with the handicapping column every week, and we appreciate his conversation. We'll head to a break when we come back. Toss out a little news and notes on this Saturday, and then Bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. Again, a little recap of Flightline from last week's Malibu. So stay tuned. All of that right after this.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Again, bottom of the hour, Terry Finley from West Point will join us to talk Flightline. But in the meantime, mentioned it earlier with Dave Liff and Billy Turner passed away over the past couple of days. Sad news. Clearly, folks of my generation remember Billy Turner as the trainer of Seattle SLU. The little recap column in Thoroughbred Daily News mentions 81 years old. I didn't realize that he was a native of Rochester, but he grew up riding and fox hunting in Pennsylvania's horse country. I didn't remember it, but once I read this article, I remembered he was actually a steeplechase jockey as a teenager, rode for 5 years, and then eventually at 6 feet 2 inches became. I will say, if you go down to the winner's circle area up at Saratoga during the steeplechase races, or just watch the jocks going back and forth to the paddock and coming off the track and going to the jock, they are clearly bigger than the thoroughbred jocks, taller usually. They're usually slender, but 6'2 is not jock size even on the steeplechase side of things. So eventually he got a little too big for that, worked as assistant trainer for a while, went out on his own at age 26, and then eventually got Seattle SLU, trained him to an Eclipse Award-winning two-year-old season, and then wound up Horse of the Year after the Triple Crown victory. But Billy Turner passed away. So again, kind of sad news, and our condolences to any family and friends who might be in the audience. With the year winding up, year-end statistics have come out, and on the NYRA side of things, you know, that as the meets end, we always say trainers and jockeys and owners who won the various New York meets, Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga, and the various different Aqueduct and Belmont meets. But there is also a year total. So 2021, it was Chad Brown, Jose Ortiz, and Klarovich Stables as the leaders, January 1st to December 31st, 2021. Chad Brown wins, this is crazy, his seventh consecutive NYRA year-end training title. He had 140 wins in 2021. Jose Ortiz had his third riding title with 185 victories. And Klarovich, 55 wins. They were seven more than Michael Dubb to finish as the leading owner for the third straight year. So really no huge surprises, but some of the, like I said, some of the numbers, like 7 consecutive for Chad Brown. Pretty amazing. Chad, 140 winners from 565 starters. Again, in New York, he won 4 individual meets, the Aqueduct Spring, the Belmont Spring, Saratoga Summer, and Belmont Fall. And the NYRA press release quotes Chad. He always, cordially gives thanks to his team, which is always nice to hear. Hard work of my dedicated team and so many people contributing. Also tips his cap to Seth Klarman and Klarovich, one of his main clients that helps him get there. I guess mutually help because Klarovich winds up as the leading owner. Jose Ortiz, this was kind of interesting, came into the last day of the year tied. And who was he tied with? His brother, I-Rod. They were tied for the most wins title. But Jose, on the last day, winds up getting a victory that moves him ahead. So he winds up with the title. He finishes with 185 wins and 913 starts. Purse earnings of $15.2 million. He's quoted as saying, "It feels great. This is what we work for every day." Of course, he won the Eclipse as the top jock in 2017. Credits his agent, Jimmy Riccio Jr. Spending the winter in New York with kids now, he just said, it just makes sense, with the family here. To kind of stick around New York. And so Jose in New York. I-Rod, when he comes back, is expected to be in Florida this winter. But Jose sticking around New York, which may help him with the 2022 NYRA title. We will see how that works out for Jose Ortiz moving forward. Klarovich, and does it say individual titles? And I should say finishing second, I-Rod Ortiz. Finishing third was Manny Franco, who was right there as well. I mean, they were all separated. But Jose Ortiz, 185 wins. I-Rod Ortiz, 184. Manny Franco, 183. And again, these are New York, they're NYRA wins. Klarovich won 4 NYRA meet titles this year: Belmont Spring, Saratoga Summer, Belmont Fall, Aqueduct Fall, and I didn't see in here any individual title or breaking down the individual titles for Jose Ortiz. But again, it was a great season. A great season for all of these, even the trainers and jockeys and owners who are right in the mix there. But it winds up year-end NYRA total. Again, this is not a meet total. This is going from January 1st to December 31st, New York racing at Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga. Chad Brown, Jose Ortiz, and Klarovich lead the pack. It's just, if you've been watching the news, this Omicron seems really contagious, and numbers are up all over the place. So stay safe and stay smart, and we will plow through it. But I think you can stay safe and stay smart, and folks are still coming down with it. So we'll see how we push through this next month or so. And hopefully we're kind of, as far as the pandemic, if you read some of the articles from pandemic experts, it seems like maybe they're hopeful that this is kind of the last wave. And we're all hoping the same thing. But all of that said, a couple of jocks over the past 2 days have tested positive down in New York. Vargas and Samuel tested positive for COVID. I think they both tested positive on Thursday. That noted, and I said, stay safe and do the best you can in this situation, should be noted, as the press release says, all the members of the jockey colony are vaccinated. They all adhere also to the established protocols. So they're being safe. It's just tough right now, again, with this more contagious variant out there. Vargas rode on Thursday, sought some testing overnight after mild symptoms. said he didn't have any symptoms during Thursday's card. Samuel didn't have any mounts on Thursday, wasn't on site, but saw some testing on Thursday after mild symptoms. So, again, they both eventually tested positive. And given the current quarantine requirements and guidelines, they expect to be back on Thursday, this coming Thursday, if they're asymptomatic. But again, we'll just have to keep our eyes open, not just in New York, but the racing world in general, and hope that things, and I said it before, from the start of the pandemic, early in the pandemic, clearly racing was kind of leading the forefront, doing a great job. So hopefully things can keep plugging along in that vein during this kind of next wave we're in the midst of. And you would expect it would, because, again, I think most of your jocks out there are vaccinated and everything, and that all plays into better outcomes, hopefully, than we ran into, you know, 2 years ago when this whole thing started. So, again, knock wood. We maybe have a little period here over the next few weeks where things, just generally, not in racing, but just generally, become maybe a little bit tougher and some of the numbers go up. But hopefully we break out. And hopefully, you know, this summer at Saratoga was pretty normal. It was pretty good. And now as we've gotten to the end of the year, things are, you know, you have this winter surge again. But as I say, if you read some of the experts, it looks like maybe the light is at the end of the tunnel. So hopefully by summer, I will knock, but hopefully by the end of this, by the time we get to summer, we are back to a far more normal situation. All right, we will take another break. And as promised earlier, we'll talk about just a crazy good performance last weekend out at Santa Anita. The Malibu flight line, a 118 buyer figure, had the racing world abuzz. And we will talk about that with one of the owners of Flightline from West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry Finley will join us right after this break. So stay tuned. Racing Across America will continue. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrow in the studio. Happy to be joined now by our friend Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry, good morning and Happy New Year.
Seth, it is great, as always, to be on the show, and a Happy New Year to you and everybody in your family.
Appreciate it. And let's jump right into it, because Mike Callahan from the marketing department last, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday said, hey, you're going to have somebody from West Point on to talk about the Malibu and preview? And I said, you know what, why don't we wait? Because the conversation might be more interesting afterward. And it certainly is. And we're going to watch the race here while we talk. Last Sunday, it was the Malibu opening day down out at Santa Anita. Flightline is going to be the number five horse. And we're watching him come out of the gate and leave now. And as we talk, they'll come around and come into the stretch. Flightline will pull away. The chart margin for the 2-5 favorite, just under 12 lengths. The buyer figure, 118. Terry, talk a little bit about this performance. You were there. What was it like live, and what was the feeling watching this horse just validate what we saw in the first two starts of the career?
Well, I tell you, Seth, you know, we thought it was going to be very, very good. I didn't quite think it would be as good as it turned out to be. It was sublime. It really was. I mean, I stood in a box all by myself. I sat, and then I stood when they got to the quarter pole. But, you know, that was as thrilling of a last quarter mile as I've experienced in my 30 years of doing partnerships.
And we're watching him come around the turn here. It's just Flavian Pratt is not doing a thing on the horse, and he is just pulling away. And as they say, the 118 buyer. Did Pratt have anything to say after the race? What was his impression of this performance?
Over the top. And I've heard him on interviews and things, but he just can't say enough about this horse. And I got to tell you, as they went into the far turn, I saw Ortiz on a Billy Mott's horse, and he started the bicycle. You know, he started to really ask. And I saw our colt, and the kid hadn't moved a muscle. And I was like, either we're really good, or the other horses aren't having even a mediocre days. And I think a couple of them had pretty good days. I think we just had an exceptional day. And, you know, look, I don't want to come on your show and I'd be one of those owners that just talks and talks and talks about their horses. You know, everybody's excited to have a winner. Everybody that has a good horse is, you know, I'd say biased, but this horse is special. And I like talking about him, and I know everybody on our team does. So I think it's going to be a great 2022, and I can't wait, you know, for things to get started. But I do know it's going to be a wait to get to his first race of the year and then to the Met Mile, but I think the wait is going to be well worth it.
Yeah, believe me, nobody blames you talking up this horse, because the racing world, obviously, social media was a buzz. I sent both you and Tommy Bellhouse a text immediately following the race, just said, wow, it was eye-popping. And, you know, it was not a good performance from Dr. Shivel, obviously, but Baby Yoda runs second. And a day apart, late summer, you and Baby Yoda, Flightline and Baby Yoda, both put in 114 buyer figures. And I had John White on last week from Santa Anita, and he said, yeah, it's kind of a showdown of the 114 buyer performances, but you guys validate, and the buyer goes forward. And let's just talk. It's been a three-race career so far. And let's go back and take a look at the first two starts of the career and get some of your thoughts there. We'll take a look first at the Maiden Breaker back in April. Flightline here is going to be the number two horse. This one is a 13-length win in debut with a 105 buyer. What were you guys expecting coming in, and then what were your feelings coming out of this debut victory?
Yeah, well, Seth, you know, people talk about why he didn't get to the races until later, and the real reason is because he had a really bad wound on his hip. And you'll see him in the paddock, and actually in the post parade, he's got a big scar, and the stitches are right around. It looks like a nasty cut, and I would tell you, the cut was a lot nastier than you would even think from the scar. We finally get him to the races in April, and I will tell you the anticipation was over the top, and that day he showed up in a big way, and we were tickled pink and anxious to get him back to the races. He had a sore foot, and we did the right thing, and he finally got back to the races at the beginning of September at Del Mar, and actually ran even better than he did in the maiden race, and the number was over the top. And so then we had a decision to make to either go into the Breeders' Cup Sprint or to wait for the Malibu. I think we did the right thing. I do, but you know, certainly love to run in the Breeders' Cup, but we all thought it was a bit too much, too soon. And I think he's going to pay us back for those good decision in the fall of 2021. But I will tell you, it was a long fall and the first part of the winter to get from that race at Del Mar to the race on the day after on Christmas in the Malibu at Santa Anita.
Yeah, and let's take a look at that, the follow-up, the allowance, start number two of the career, comes off the 105 debut victory, and you throw a triple digit in your debut, that jumps off the page. But then you wonder, can the horse validate it? And we're watching start number two at the end of the Telmar meet. He wins this by over 12 lengths with that 114 buyer we talked about. Just a phenomenal performance, and you've already kind of talked about it a little bit, but it seems like after you came out of this race, there was the discussions already going on. Where do we go and what do we do? And how was that final decision made to wait for the Malibu?
Well, John Sadler, it's a great partnership group. You can see the names, all seasoned owners. And ultimately, very quickly after the Del Mar race, we told John Sadler, you will be the decision maker. And every one of us will support you. And that's the way you have to do it with a horse like this. And I'd offer to you the vast majority of horses. You have to have confidence in the person that comes to the barn every day at 4:30 and actually sees horses and the way they're eating and the way they're coming out of the stall and the way they're cooling out and what the vet sees, all those things, right? We can't opine on that in a substantive way, sitting in Kentucky and all the other places that we live. So I love the fact that we supported him. And, I think it's one thing to support a trainer, but it's another to truly support them. And I'm proud of the partnership group and the ownership group. I do. I think we really supported them. And, we're excited for John to man the ship and to lead the ship in 2022.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. It's 3 for 3 so far. Daylight wins, maiden special, optional claimer, and then jumping into a grade one and start number three with those crazy buyers, 105, 114, 118. I want to go back because it was right up the turnpike here and let you brag a little bit and talk a little bit about buying the horse. And I pulled up some video from YouTube of the horse in the ring right up here at Saratoga, and I pulled up a column from the Blood Horse the next day talking about your purchasing flight line at Facing Tipton, as I say, right up the turnpike here. And we're watching the video of the horse in the ring as the bids go to $1 million. But you are quoted as saying after you bought the horse, if you keep buying these kinds of horses, then you hope you will be back to the big time. Yeah, mission accomplished. So talk a little bit about this night at Saratoga. And were you inside or were you outside bidding?
We were outside. We were outside right at, that's our new normal since the rise of COVID. The last couple of sales, we've been outside on the right-hand side and just underneath of the buyer's lounge at Saratoga and outside the office. But I remember that, he was a really, really cool horse. It came from the right program. He had a wonderful pedigree that I knew quite a bit about. Vinny Viola, the second dam, was the first mare that Vinny Viola had ever bought in 2012 at the beginning, at the January sale. So a deep Phipps family. And so everything just came together. And we thought, with that kind of pedigree and with that kind of physical, we didn't think it'd be tough to get him done. And I think it took us about 24 hours to syndicate him. Jane Lyon stayed in for a quarter. The Ferris Group took a piece. Sienna Farm took a piece. And the Heronises out in California took a piece. So at that point, we knew that the colt was destined to go to out to California. And we sent him to Ocala, and we started the process with the maybes or the Mayberries. They break all the horses for David and Gordo. And so we sent him to Ocala with a lot of hopes and dreams. And we think that they're starting to come true, those hopes and dreams, but we still have a ways to go.
So far, so good. Talk about it, reading the articles over the past week or so. And the horse, I think, got back to the track yesterday, if I read correctly, just for a little jog and got back out there. But it seems like there's nothing firmed up for next year. You're looking for maybe a four or five race campaign. But do you have any goals in mind at this point?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to get to the end of our conversation without giving the credit to this Colt. I mean, obviously, he's uber talented, but Seth, you know, trying to be as unbiased as possible, which isn't easy when you're associated with a horse like this. You know, the thing about it is he's got a pedigree that screams a mile and a quarter. The Dam got beat a whisker in a grade one going a mile and a quarter. Obviously, Tappet needs no introduction. So I really can't think of another horse that has displayed the kind of ability and sizzle and the brilliance that this horse has going three quarters and seven eighths, even though he's bred to go a mile and a quarter. And so I think if he were to put those two together, you know, the brilliance at the sprint distances and then to go two turns and to do the same thing or to do even more, you know, I think we're talking about, you know, like a generational horse or the historic horse that John Sadler talked about. And to think that we might have a historic horse on our hands above and beyond anything else, I mean, that, I think it's good for racing. Obviously, it's good for us. And, you know, it's exciting for the partners. But we want to give back and to help racing. And I think we all do, right? We're all in it together. And I don't know. I don't think that I'm going too far to think that this horse has a really a good shot of bringing us all together and just infusing the industry and the participants in our great game with a lot of excitement and anticipation in the coming year.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head because, as I say, the buzz was certainly flying Sunday night into Monday with discussion of the Malibu, and that was only start number three. And if you have kind of stretch out plans and whatnot for him, it's going to be fun to see 2022 and what is in line for Flightline. Terry also pulled up a shot of you in the winner's circle. You were out there last weekend, Christmas in California, I guess. But I want you to talk a little bit about, again, I had John White on last week from Santa Anita on Sunday morning, and we talked a little bit about opening day at Santa Anita, which traditionally has been one of the bigger days on the American racing calendar. I think Saratoga, we love opening day, but the big day of the meet is Travers Day. Opening day is kind of fun. Del Mar, opening day is their big day. It's bigger than the Pacific Classic. And I think Santa Anita sits somewhere in between. Talk about opening day last week at Santa Anita and just what the atmosphere was like.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the atmosphere was great. It truly was a great card, and I felt bad for everybody involved when they took the grass races off.
Yeah.
I guess four really good grass races. So that did help the day. But, you know, surprisingly, there were several of those races that weren't scratched down to the degree that you would think a grade one on the turf, you know, would scratch down or the other. So I like that. There was a buzz. You know, it was very cool to know that part of that buzz was due to Flightline and the comments and, you know, Mark Glatt, who I don't know him, but he seems like a really sage guy. And before the race, he was talking about, look, I have a horse that just got beat a whisker in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. You know, I understand the hype over Flightline, but let's see it on the racetrack. And then to his credit, he said, like, I had never seen a performance in person to the degree that I saw Flightline. So I like that guy, Mark Glatt. So you can tell him the next time you talk to him. But, you know, it's, I think everybody knew, even the crudgety old guys that really never seemed to have anything good to say. It was so cool because I read about their stories and I read their tweets. Even those guys, even those people, you know, they couldn't say anything bad, or, you know, I guess they started to talk a little bit about the competition, but you had that horse that got beat in the Breeders' Cup Sprint and the Triple Tap, who was impressive two for two. So I don't know. Yes, I understand that in the coming months, we might look back and say that wasn't a super strong Malibu, but it seemed super strong going into it. I was apprehensive about, you know, several of those other horses. So it was just a magical day, and as good as you could expect, but even better.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the field. I think that was a salty little field. Baby Yoda ran back to what we saw, I think, at Saratoga. It was just flight line was too good. Dr. Shivel maybe didn't run up to his potential, but Triple Tap was nice coming in and had potential as well. I think it was kind of a fun little field, but I don't know who you would have put in there that would have beat Flightline that day anyway with the big performance. And I'm just curious, as they say, I sent you a text right after the race. How much did the phone blow up after that race as far as texts and phone calls?
Well, actually a good bit, and all kinds. As I say, I kind of alluded to it, but you know, you build up friends, you go to the sales and everything. And there are people who aren't trying to sell you anything. They're not trying to sell you a horse off the racetrack. They're not trying to sell you a season. They're not trying to hustle you in any way, shape, or form. So usually they're the kind of people that you might see at the sale and they'll congratulate you. But I got a bunch of them from people who sent them to me, but I knew were really authentic and upfront. And, you know, people in their late 60s and their 70s that said they had never seen a performance like that in other lifetimes. And, you know, you're talking about people that have been in the business for 50, 60 years. And so I think I came away from that night knowing that that was really special in the fact that, you know, this cold has really picked a lot of heads up. Like around the world, I got one from Australia. I got several from Europe. So I love the fact that people from all over the world were looking and were really taken aback by this beautiful, well-bred and athletic and exciting cold.
That's great. I'm happy for you guys. You know, friends with you guys and have been for a while, and always appreciate when these partnerships bringing some new people into the game and whatnot can have success. And so it's been fun watching this horse. And as I said to you, you put a nice exclamation point on 2021. Looking forward to 2022 with Flightline. But let's get some just more general West Point thoughts. And I will tell people again, I always tell people, you guys have a great website. I have them on my computer right here. WestPointTB.com talks all about your upcoming runners, your recent results, and news and whatnot. It's a great way for people to maybe just get a little bit of info on the partnership side of the game. And whether they're immediately thinking about that or not, it's a nice introduction via your website. But let's talk about one of the horses I wanted to mention, Giant Game. Ran third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I pulled up the Equibase page yesterday. He's been working recently. What might be next for Giant Game?
Well, I think we're going to take a long look at the Holy Bull. You know, I talked to Dale Romans yesterday, and he worked really well over the weekend. And so I would think either we're going to run in the Holy Bull or we'll run in the day. Other than he was a very, very good third in the Breeders' Cup, and we were a long shot, and we thought that we'd run well out in California, and we did. We put in a good effort. I thought we were going to win it at the quarter pole, but the Baffert horse just rebroke. And you know, I think we're set to see exactly where we stand in the three-year-old division, especially in South Florida, because, you know, there are a lot of good horses that come out of there. So you'll get a good litmus test here in the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth, that's for sure.
And I'll also mention Sequist won the maiden, the debut effort at Colonial back in July, then ran fourth in the Spinaway, third in the Alcibiades, fifth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. She's trained by Dallas Stewart, and I saw a recent workout. No surprise, Dallas Stewart down at the fairgrounds. Dallas had a really good and underrated maybe 2021, but what might be nice next for Sequist?
Yeah, she's back on the work tab, and you know, she just got outrun. She wasn't good enough at that particular time in the Breeders' Cup, but I thought it was worth a shot. We were 11-12-1, but Steve Asmus in Philly, Echo Zulu.
Yeah.
I mean, she's head and shoulders above the division as it stands now. You know, we know that things evolve and change, and they go every different way as we progress to the Kentucky Oaks. But we're hoping to be in the thick of things, either at the fairgrounds or at Oak Lawn, as we get ready for, you know, the big races a little bit later on the spring. But, you know, she's a quality filly that's got to raise her game. to a degree, but I think if she does, as they're often, as they often do when they turn three, we think that, you know, she's got a shot to make some noise and have some fun for her partner.
And before we let you go, talk a little bit about the future and some of maybe the yearlings you bought last year and what the game plan is as far as getting them started. But also, I'm curious, we saw the video of you purchasing Flightline. Obviously, the Saratoga sale is for yearlings. I know you've participated in the two-year-old sales, and they're coming up. A couple of months down the road, we'll start to kick off those two-year-old sales. How soon do you guys kind of gear up and start pulling up the catalogs and really kind of planning for the auction season?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. Tommy Bellhouse and I know Tommy's listening up at Saratoga, but we took a trip down at the beginning of December to take a look at our babies. We got 36 babies.
Oh, nice.
Almost every one of them is in some sort of partnership, which is obviously been the rage, but we really think for a company like ours, it just makes so much sense. You know, but we've already started. You know, we've gone to a bunch of different farms that have two-year-olds, and we'll be down again in January and then in February, and then the first sale is in the middle of March. But, you know, I don't think that we have a clear-cut out or I'd say preference to the two-year-old sales or the yearling sales or off the racetrack. We think that the key to this business is to keep all your options open, and the two is to get affiliated and to get on just as many horses as you can get associated with. And when you do that, you know, you raise your chances of success and to have a flight line. You know, somebody said the other day, the key to winning the lottery is to have as many chances as possible. And that is true. You know, we need as many chances as possible. But we also know that when we join forces with other owners, the opportunities that we present to our partners are bigger and they're more exciting. And, you know, that's what we aim to do, is to make a difference in our partners' lives. And, you know, a quick story. There's a surgeon from Kansas who owns a big part of our flight line. And, you know, last 3 or 4 years, he's had some personal issues that have come up. And, you know, he's been, you know, in a little bit of a tailspin. So we're walking down to the winter sober at the flight line. And, you know, he said to me, "You've changed my life." And that, you know, I mean, out of all the different things and all the beautiful things that happened in the last year, like, you want to talk about putting the stamp on a year to have a successful person who's a renowned surgeon say that our company changed his life. I think that says it all.
Yeah, that's great. That is absolutely great. And I can understand that when you jump in for a horse like this. Terry, wanted to have you on to talk about last week because, again, it was not just an exclamation point for you. I think it was a nice exclamation point on the racing season in America to see a performance like that and what wound up to be the top buyer of the year, and we see it on December 26th. It was really a great three-race campaign so far for Flightline. Looking forward to 2022 with that horse and all your other horses. Always like to root for them when I'm doing the handicapping show in the afternoon and I see those West Point Silks out there. Always like to point that out to folks. I will again tell people to stop by the website, westpointtb.com. You can get great information there. You guys do a great job with the website. But again, Terry, congratulations on Flightline and looking forward to the new year. Appreciate your visit this morning.
You know, my pleasure, Seth. Always good to join forces and keep up the great work to you and your team. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate your kind words there. Terry, happy new year to you and yours. And as I say, looking forward to the West Point runners in 2022. Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. We'll take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up for this Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this first day of 2022. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Fun show. Dave Litvin joined us at the top to go over, again, really a nice slew of three-year-olds. They have a slew at Gulfstream on their own, but across the country, there are some nice three-year-old stakes. The Jerome in New York, the Smarty Jones down in Arkansas, the Sham out in Southern California, and again, Mucho Macho Man and another list of three-year-old stakes down at Gulfstream. And we'll be looking at most or all of those this afternoon on OTB Live. We'll be back in about an hour or so to kick things off for the afternoon of handicapping here on OTB TV. So you can look forward to that. And it should be a fun afternoon. Great way to kick off the new year. Hope everybody had a happy New Year's Eve, happy and safe, more importantly, perhaps. That leads into a good New Year's Day and hopefully a great new year altogether that we can look forward to things, as they say, coming out of that pandemic tunnel, getting maybe back to normal and gives us a chance to kind of enjoy things in a little more of a normal way. That's what we're hoping for anyway. We may have to go through a little bit of a period here for another month or so, it sounds like, as I read the articles, but we will see it. Again, racing, though, a great way to keep mentally sound and plugged in regardless of what the pandemic situation is, because you can always sit at home and turn on OTB TV, fire up your OTB bet account and enjoy the races that way in a safe and comfortable manner. Or you can come down here and enjoy racing today at the Clubhouse Racebook, because we have a win-a-bet contest, which will add a little fun to the afternoon. But also, it's the annual NYRA calendar giveaway today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. So if you'd like to pick up your NYRA 2022 calendar, that's today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Again, thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. We appreciate the support of Gulfstream Park. I am going to wrap it up for this Saturday edition of Racing Across America. Again, thanks to Dave Litvin going over the three-year-old stakes, and thanks to Terry Finley. Again, I wanted to talk to Terry and just get his thoughts and a little recap on that flight line performance from last Sunday. It was just phenomenally good with the 118 buyer and running away and hiding from the field. Looking forward to his game plan for 2022. All right, we will wrap it up. As I noted, be back in about an hour or so for OTB Live. They'll kick things off Gulfstream at noon, NYRA at 12:20. So we're right around the corner from Saturday afternoon racing action and OTB Live. So stay tuned. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.